saying different, I think if people want, if people still have legitimate concerns about the operations, the issue is to deal with it on the question of funding matter directly in that budget if they want to do that. And I guess that's where I am. And I do think your offer about taking this into the formal rulemaking would be would make it a whole lot more comfortable for folks to understand what's going on and to understand that there are safeguards in place and ability to comment. Senator Gretzky.
What's the objective of sending it back to Ways and Means exactly? I understand why the bill was sent here. That was the, you know, people voted on the floor to do that, but they didn't vote on the floor to send it back to Ways and Means. That's another issue. Now we're deciding to do that, and I guess I don't understand why we're doing that.
Well, frankly, because the subcommittee co-chair wanted to do it, and I'm, since we didn't treat her too nicely yesterday, I've told her that I would be willing to do that, and I think there's support for the project probably on that Ways and Means subcommittee. I think we need to decide what we're going to do about if we want to make any statutory changes here in the interim in light of what the Attorney General has shared with his willingness to go forward with the rulemaking process. So that's, I guess, what, and those are communications which we need to share with our caucus. You might want to share with your caucus in preparation for any further comments to the budget. Senator Brenner.
Madam Chair.
If
I may, I have never read that budget note as assuming that this is a done deal. We still have to go ask the Ways and Means Committee for the money and make the case that we'll use it wisely and appropriately. I hope you're not asking me to give up my right of petition.
Oh, no.
I've come as an uninvited guest to the e-board before, too.
No, I do. But I would remind people that at the moment, this $1.2 million is in the add-on should people decide it's on that list, because I've seen it there, specifically for any breaking, whatever, what may or may not be included in the omnibus break the budget.
Well,
bill. So that's all. I mean, it's sitting there, and it is a funding matter. Unless somebody decides to take it off, which they'll take it off with or without us.
Well, it's one of the highest priorities of local law enforcement.
Yes.
I mean, I think that case has
Senator
been
Brown.
Made.
I have no problem at all sending it back to the Ways and Means Committee for them to review it once more before bringing it back to the floor. Then Senate members are at liberty. If they don't like the fact that it's footnoted or they don't like the fact that it's included in any manner, can vote their displeasure on the floor of the Senate. I think, however, it should go in the same exact way it was received by this committee. It was my intention coming in here, we were to review, and I think Dave's given a strong presentation from Worth as far as at least I'm concerned. And I have no problem, as I say, moving it back on over there for their further look before coming back.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dave, I think that a lot of this happened because people didn't understand, saw this as some kind of a surprise. I know we don't have the unique relationship with the Department of Justice that some of the other committees have with some other agencies of government. But I think that it was just something, maybe it talks about our relationship in legislative review or whatever, but I think if there's somehow that this had been presented to us in some way, I mean, it could have even been possible to help make a stronger case.
Senator Hill, I appreciate what you're saying. I've talked about this to so many people and so often and so loudly that I guess I thought I'd talk to all of you. And you'll forgive the oversight because it is not a new program.
We spent a lot of time talking, reviewing in some depth, much to the committee members' dismay sometimes, the corrections budget. And at times, this is probably an indication that we might want to do this a little more in this budgetary process.
I would welcome that. We do not have a true oversight agency other than the Ways and Means Committee, and it's been a different committee in each of the five biennia in which I've made a presentation. And so we basically started over every time. So that has both strong points and drawbacks, but there is not a continuous oversight committee for the department, and as a consequence, people perhaps don't know about it as much about our programs as I'm assuming that they do, simply because we come to testify on bills. I certainly think any agency can benefit by that regular relationship, and I would certainly invite the interim committee to have an overview hearing for some portion of one of your early meetings, so that we can perhaps even a walkthrough of the department's facility, so that we can better identify for you what we do. Be pleased to do that.
In 85, when I was on the Human Resources Committee, we had such an overview of each agency or each department and Human Resources, and it was quite valuable, I think, especially as a new member, to get an idea of where the money went and the programs that were under it. And I wouldn't consider it an overview committee, but just a, or an oversight committee, but an opportunity to see what you're doing, I think, would be for both of our benefits, yeah. We can see here.
Well, and to the extent
kind
that
of
that
cooperation maybe in the interim.
Senator Hill?
I just want you to understand, Dave, see, the way at least we've had discussions about the budget in generally, and what this was discussed as, frankly, was an add-on. Now, what that is the way that it was described to us, and when you talk about something as an add-on, because I see you were not in the governor's base budget for this particular project, that is what gave people, at least I will speak for myself, that is what gave me the impression that this was a new program. And so that is how I think all of this kind of came about. In other words, if there's an $1.5 million around, it can be used for this. And so that sort of gave everybody the impression, at least the discussion on the floor, was that it was a new program, or that the unit, somehow that this unit was not connected to an existing program.
Mm-hmm.
So just some explanation as to how it got that perception.
Well, Senator Hill, I hope that you're satisfied on those counts, at least as a consequence of today's hearing or other information to receive, because if that information wasn't given to you, it should have been by some form.
Senator Springer.
Well, as far as oversight and budget, Dave, I understand from conversations with Kulongoski and others that, I guess, on a somewhat unrelated subject, that one of the reasons that apparently your office or the governor or Mr. Kulongoski have not decided to participate in litigation along with other attorneys general across this country against five major insurance companies for all kinds of evil things, contrary to the best interests of consumers in the state and across the country, was financial. There was a question about who was going to pay for the cost of that if the decision were made to participate in that litigation. Was that issue presented as a budgetary issue and discussed with Ways and Means? Did you say, give me the money to protect the consumers in this state and participate in that litigation?
Well, Senator Springer, there's obviously a little bit of question begging in your question, but
sure.
I'll try to answer it straightforwardly.
As long as we're on oversight here, I mean,
fiscal considerations
we've left,
are.
We've left on to
a few bits
of oversight beyond where we are with it. I want to give you a minute.
I do want to answer the question.
Yeah, I do that. The thing that gives me better satisfaction is the guidelines that you have shared with us. I mean, that's the saving grace with me, frankly, that you've thought about, that you have put it in place, and that there's some things here. And I, for one, would appreciate you dealing with it in a rulemaking. I think that would make everybody a whole lot more comfortable, and that whatever goes on is up front, out front, and can be looked at and changed, and at least there's some public comparison for when you do make changes, or if people believe there has been a violation, they have something to judge that against what the original rule was. So that would frankly make me feel much more straightforward, that we're dealing in a straightforward programmatic way with what we've got here. And I want to say that before you get off into responding to Senator Springer's question.
Yeah, Madam Chair, may I do that right now?
Yes.
Chuck, would you do that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
That'll be done. Senator Springer, the answer is the considerations were in large part fiscal, but not exclusively. We, of course, are a small state. We led the charge for all the states in the oil overcharge litigation, notwithstanding our small size. It is time for some other states, or appropriate for other states, to take the lead on other consumer cases. And it is our firm analysis that whatever relief results for consumers will be nationwide relief rather than limited to the plaintiff states. So in any event, Oregon will gain the benefit of a plaintiff's victory in the state if that is what occurs. And that's our analysis.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. We appreciate your forum.
Thank you very much. I'm not going to call other folks, if the committee doesn't mind. I think that unless there is some strong question, we have Sheriff Brooks from Eugene to talk about the sheriff's support for this. I'm not sure that's not what the issue was. We have Dave Fidanke, ACLU of Oregon here, Senator Hill. If anybody wants to hear from either of those folks, I'd be willing to do that again with appreciation that we are on the floor. Senator Hill.
Madam Chair, then I would move House Bill 5038 to the Ways and Means Committee.
Okay. Senator Hill has moved House Bill 5038 to the Ways and Means Committee. Call the roll, please.
With or without recommendation?
Well, I don't think there's any recommendation to make.
I didn't think I heard one. Thank you.
Call the roll, please.
Senator Brennan.
Aye.
Senator Brockman.
Aye.
Senator Gransky.
Aye.
Senator Hill.
Aye.
Senator Schumacher. Senator Springer.
No.
Chair Cohen.
Aye. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Gransky.
I'm going to go down to labor. They've got a number of workers' comp bills that they may need me on. And I'd certainly like to be in both places at once. When you get to the point of, you've got a couple other bills here. If you need me, just send somebody down. I'll be happy to come back.
Well, we have the death penalty bill, yes. And what, we're going down to the floor, is that what?
No, we adjourn, so you can just go.
You adjourn?
Yes.
Till when?
Tomorrow.
What?
Here, and there are too many committees that have to meet and get
all the work done. Okay, well, I would ask that we go ahead and finish here and labor and get labor. Get labor to finish up. They got to go longer today, and they can go till you guys can go on till midnight.
Well, I just want to make sure I'm there to vote on some of those bills.
Okay, can we go down and get a reconnoiter from labor to see if we can get these?
They may
need you, and I don't want to keep. Well, why don't you go ahead
it's
down?
It's pretty important.
Go ahead.
I mean, not that it's
come back up if you have an opportunity.
I will.
We've got two more bills here to take up today. We need to get Representative Dwyer and whoever for House Bill 2493. And we also have the 3303, which we'll need Representative Kiesling, Senator Hanby. Springer, do you want to talk about 3493? Do we have anybody here to talk about 3493?
Labor got postponed, Madam Chair, so I'll be here.
Okay.
Apparently got postponed to 5 o'clock.
Nice try, guy.
Doug, you'll have an hour to take a walk.
Yeah.
We do our business quickly here.
Cool down, chill out, you know, whatever.
Go up and have an ice cream bar.
Go up on the patio on top.
Here, this is a bill, House Bill 3493 is a bill that Representative Dwyer sponsored. It's a penalty for negligently discharging oil unlawfully into the Oregon waters by making a Class A misdemeanor. And it has a civil penalty, and it is a civil penalty to DQ, which has any number of civil penalty authorities. So,
Madam Chair, I just note this one came straight to Judiciary.
At your
didn't
request.
Stop in Ag and Natural Resources,
right.
Given the late date that we received it. So right. Our committee had no opportunity to review it, although it certainly looks consistent with our efforts in the past.
Health insurance.
You're still going in health insurance? Are you finished?
Yeah.
Both bills were full. The other one, I knew. Well, at this stage of the
that might be giving Ways and Means an opportunity to do some work.
Oh, God. Sorry. What, Senator Brown?
I was just saying, it might be giving Ways and Means. Have been having a tough time to get together down there to do any work. It might be an opportunity to let them work.
I think that's probably, that's really what they're after.
Our bills.
Going
to
get that teeny budget out
of
there. That's why we shouldn't be sending their bills around the various committees.
Hey, John, they're just rewriting all our bills down there. And I do mean our bills.
What are we doing now?
Well, we're waiting for Representative Dwyer, and we're waiting for Representative Kiesling and Senator Hamby. And then we'll take up the last two bills, and we shouldn't be all that long.
Believe, what's Kearns doing? I wonder why he wouldn't be meeting now. Is he in another committee?
Well, they assumed that probably, see, Shoemaker had his own committee, and you were gone, and I think it's really, they wanted to just do a, really a work session where you wouldn't be interrupted.
But we don't have any session at all today anymore.
Right.
Not a shame.
That's good. I got, you know, that body wire and the mobile tracking bill.
To care.
I got, you know, an hour before session, and they're not exactly the easiest to do.
Proud, and I am, I want to make sure that Senator Hamby doesn't feel left out of the loop. Where is, can we get Mary Grimes and...
She just went to get Jeanette.
Yeah, Jeanette's, I know, down at work session on the lottery stuff, so she's going to be crunched too, but I'd ask for your patience, folks. Hang in here with us.
I got nowhere to go.
There's Dwyer, he's first, okay? We are first come, first served here. Sorry, Representative Kiesling.
Okay, that's all right. I will retreat.
Can I say bye on this bill? It's a good bill. I love that bill.
So that's right. Actually, Kiesling's been on this bill too. He served on the House Committee that dealt with it.
That's true.
House Bill 3493, this deals with discharging of oil into the waters of Oregon. And actually, both of you have probably something to say. Representative Dwyer.
Well, this bill, it was funny that in light of what happened in the, for the record, Madam Chair, Representative Bill Dwyer, District 42, Springfield, what happened with the Valdez in Alaska, that we really had no mechanism to compel damages or assess damages or civil penalties in regards to damages, and had really no penalties for the skipper in Oregon off of the coast within the 3 mile coastal limit. And it was that oil spill in Alaska really that inspired me to put some mechanism. The bill started out with $25,000 civil damages, but it didn't, it could have conceivably have penalized somebody inadvertently on a small spill and whatnot. So the committee worked hard and worked it over to allow damages to be commensurate, or the fines to be commensurate with the amount of damages, penalties commensurate with the amount of damages, and those damages would be determined by the DEQ and the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And I think it's a good bill. It also reestablishes a fund, oil spill control fund, that was in existence up until about two sessions ago. It was actually disbanded. Representative Hanneman had that fund established a few years ago when the state started talking about the offshore oil leasing in order to get ready for anything that might happen. If you remember that Santa Barbara spill, it was about that time that Hanneman had this oil control fund established in the camp, and there was no use of it, and about two sessions ago, the Ways and Means just discontinued the fund. This would reestablish that fund. It would actually help the fishing industry and the environment by having this mechanism in place should something happen. I think it's a good bill, and it deserves your consideration.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Oh, question. Senator Green.
Why, can you tell me why you reduced it, and maybe I missed this, why you reduced the fine down to only $2,500? Am I reading this correctly?
Well, the reason was because of the felony and the misdemeanor aspect of it.
Yeah, I think what they did was they allowed it. Allowed the collective damages in that you could go up to, if you made damages, you could get collective penalty for damages in addition to.
You could do that anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
With a civil suit, but I'm huh?
If you're looking right here, that's this something else.
Senator Springer?
No, I'm looking on
the yeah.
While you find it, Senator Gretzky, let Springer ask his question.
Are we
going to
insert our traditional civil penalty language into this bill?
Okay.
As far as the procedure the effect of a judgment or finding, et cetera, et cetera.
We've done that with DEQ previously, so this is just an add-on to their current statutes, and we have amended their statutes on one of the first bills that went through, so this just is a additional reference.
Follow on to that.
Right.
Great, great. Appreciate that.
The civil penalties only, Madam Chair, the civil penalties only $25,000. That's nothing to somebody.
It says, no.
Well, no, the fine is $25,000.
All right, but damages commensurate with the, also the collective commensurate with the amount of damage.
Which part of the bill are you referring to?
Isn't it in the first part? I don't have the bill in front of me. Line 10, section 3, any person who willfully or negligently causes or permits a discharge of oil in the water shall incur in addition any other penalty provided by law, a civil penalty commensurate with the amount of damages, and that amount is to be determined by the DEQ and the Fish and Wildlife. So if we have a really devastating spill and it costs millions of dollars to clean it up, we've got that leverage without filing suit.
Well, you feel confident, okay. You feel confident that the DEQ is in a position to determine what that would be? And
well, I would say there'd probably be no better agencies than the DEQ and the Department of Fish and Wildlife when it relates to the environment, because they're the ones that are charged with that, and they do all the commercial fishing and whatnot, and they're part of the Columbia River Basin Compact and all these other things, and I'm certain that they'd be able to make a probably as cognitive a determination as possible.
Thank you.
Thanks, Senator Springer.
Just quick clarification. Bill, you don't mean to affect in any way the right the third party might have if they were suffered, say a fisherman or boat owner or landowner, anybody else?
Not at all.
Their existing rights are not affected.
The intent of this bill is to protect the state's right, not the right of a third party, or limit the right of a third party.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions?
I have a technical question.
Okay, well, we might, let's ask that of Catherine.
You're asking the wrong guy if you want to get technical.
And I do, let's hold your technical question
right
then, and excuse Representative Dwyer, unless anyone has any further questions for Representative Dwyer.
No, I don't.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
thanks
the opportunity.
For coming.
Thanks for coming.
And we're going to hold your technical question yet another time, so unless you want to just sort of quickly ask Catherine.
All right. My question is whether it's proper to make common negligence a crime. And that's what this does. Negligent violation of the statute is a Class A misdemeanor. And I'm looking.
Well, I think, it's possible to do that under the environmental statutes. It's pretty clear.
Common negligence, not even gross negligence.
Well, if you just drive over and dump.
Yeah, and Senator, up in line 10, I think the authority.
Where's scienter? Isn't there some element of scienter in a crime?
No, not in environmental damage.
Don't have scienter.
Catherine.
I was going to say, Senator, already that authority, I think, exists in line 10 where it says willful or negligent violation of, and it's a different series of ORSs in the.
I was looking at 468, and I noticed that it does now provide that, but it stopped me momentarily, but I thought, well, maybe nobody raised the question when that bill was adopted.
Right. We're not going to talk about a statute
right
that's 10 years old.
Is the chair interested in
moving
this?
Well, we upped the class, though, to a Class A misdemeanor, which is a pretty serious thing.
Oh. Madam Chair, I'd move House Bill 3493 before it could be passed.
Thanks. Senator Grinsky has moved House Bill 3493 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Senator Brockman.
In reading line 22, they refer to that statute. I would like for fun to have whoever's got the book over there just read that statute to us and see if we really want to do that. I know it's old language, but
468-745.
That's pretty heady stuff. I mean, we're only treating this like up to a $2,500 fine or commensurate to the price. To the
yeah, but if you do a lot of damage,
yeah, I know,
that's
but,
what it says.
Yeah, but listen to the rest of this.
Yeah. We'll let you read it.
Well, I'd be happy.
You can give it the emphasis.
Some of us have
underplay. Emphasis added.
Right.
Okay. What was it, 7:45? Where the injury, death, contamination, or destruction of fish or other wildlife, or injury or destruction of fish or wildlife habitat results from pollution or from any violation of the conditions set forth in any permit, so. The person responsible for the injury, death, contamination, or destruction shall be strictly liable to the state for the value of the fish or wildlife so injured or destroyed, and for all costs of restoring fish and wildlife production in the affected areas, including habitat restoration. Now, that's some pretty heavy stuff.
Well, that's.
That's what we expect of people who.
I would think that would be enough. Why are we fiddling with a $2,500 fine?
Well, I would say, I gotta say, it's gotta have a fair amount of damage where anybody's gonna wanna go in and do this.
I just want that on the record, that's true.
I don't think the misdemeanor's gonna deter too many people when you got that.
Okay, folks, any further discussion? Senator Brockman has entered ORS 468745 into the record.
With feeling.
With feeling.
Special emphasis.
For, yes.
I think I was gonna agree with this.
Call the roll, please.
I'm not sure what to vote for.
Aye.
Brockman?
Aye.
Gransky?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Shoemaker?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye, motion carried, thank you. Sorry, folks, Senator Hanby and Representative Kiesling will pick up House Bill 3303, and this bill has been major effort. I thank you all for putting in so much effort. We have essentially a new bill, or at least a redraft.
Much improved.
And we hope, we trust much improved, we know much improved. Senator Hanby and Representative Kiesling, which one of you wants to go first? Senator?
I'll step through very quickly if you'd like.
Let me just, and point out, in cases, I may be subject to a follow vote on the LCDC budget, so I'll have to run out for two or three minutes, that's why.
We know the House is quite long-winded, so it'll probably be another hour.
Thank goodness.
Vote no.
The first.
Okay, Jeanette.
I think if you see, if you, hopefully you all have hand engrossed, do you, that we can track.
There is a hand engrossed copy attached to the back of your amendments.
So the initial amendments that you note are actually minor reflections just to simply clarify the intent and the meaning of the bill. But the first major change is on page 3, G, if you'll note, that speaks of aggravating circumstances outweighing the mitigating circumstances. The language was confusing and is vague due to a lack of statutory definition. The criterion process for determination of life imprisonment as opposed to the existing life imprisonment with the possibility of parole is contained on pages 1, lines 15 through 24, and page 2, lines 1 through 3. Also deleted from the A engrossed bill was sub 2 on page 3 that addresses how sentencing proceeds in the event of a plea by the defendant. That was sub 2 on page 3. The procedure to be followed if there is an accepted plea in aggravated murder cases is contained in the proposed amendments on page 2, lines 4 through 25. Are we tracking?
Mm-hmm. I think we are.
Mm-hmm. And sub 4 of the proposed amendments, page 2, lines 26 through 30 and on, contains two critical savings clauses. The first is of a severability nature. This guarantees that if any part of the proposed measure is held invalid, the remaining portions will retain credibility and validity in the eyes of the law. And then there is a second savings provision located on page 3, lines 2 through 4, that references subsection 2. This is to give added assurance and notice of legislative intent that this bill, upon passage into law, does not have any impact on present judgments of conviction. All these amendments were, there was a consensus as far as these amendments by numerous individuals involved in the negotiations on the bill.
Madam Chair, may I start?
Senator Hill.
Are saving provisions, are they valid?
I believe so.
Okay.
Severability clause, especially.
Okay,
These were recommendations made by both members of the District Attorneys Association and the public defender, several public defenders, several from the defense bar, attorneys from the defense bar that are currently involved in capital cases. We also had input from Mark Kramer, Corey Streisinger, the attorney, of course, Kingsley Clark from the State Court Administrator's Office, as well as Virginia Linder, Solicitor General, and finally our own legislative counsel, Virginia Vanderbilt. So there was a strong consensus that every hoop, every loop was checked. I must add, however, that currently the district attorneys met, I think, as recently as last Friday, Bill?
Yes.
Friday noon. And on the amendments, on the bill, they are supportive of it, and they will publicly support it, providing the referendum is added. In other words, that it is referred to a public vote of the people. If this committee so chooses,